This week we head west to the land of liberalism, the USA. Flying straight over the East Coast, high above New York, we continue westwards to land in that most American of American cities, Chicago, right in the heart of the Midwest.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Ah, Chicago, the second city. Second city? Yep, that was the name given to it by a journalist in the 1950s, and it has stuck ever since, continuing to mock Chicago's weak spot, its reputed inferiority complex when compared to number one city, New York. Ask any proud Chicagoan how they feel about the reputation of their city as second best, and you'll see their hackles rise. They're likely to explain to you in detail why Chicago has nothing to be ashamed of when it comes to rivalry with New York. What images come to mind for you when you hear the name Chicago? Perhaps you can still see the posters for the musical Chicago. Ironically, the musical Chicago first opened in New York in 1975. It later played for 15 years in London from the mid-90s, had a run in Paris in 2004, and has been shown in productions all over the world, including Moscow, Tokyo, and South America. Telling a fictionalized story of corruption in the administration of justice and the cult of the criminal as celebrity, it did much to put Chicago back into our imaginations, mostly as the home of gangsters and corrupt politicians during the years of prohibition in the US. In fact, Chicago isn't even the second city in the US in terms of its population. It's only about half the size of Los Angeles, putting it into third place. But other than movies and Hollywood, Los Angeles doesn't do much for our imagination. Chicago is a lot more colourful. Once known as the Paris of the Midwest, it still lives a little on its reputation as a centre of decadence and fast living at the end of the 19th and early 20th centuries, parallel to La Belle Époque in Paris. There's even a replica of a Paris metro entrance cast from the same Art Nouveau moulds that Hector Guimard used in 1900. It was made in Paris and donated by the RATP to Chicago in 2003. You can see it at the corner of South Michigan Avenue and East Van Buren Street. But more than that, Chicago claims to be the true home of that most American gift to world cities, the skyscraper. Architecturally, Chicago is as interesting as New York, even if the number of skyscrapers and the rate of new construction is now less. The prowess of Chicago in this respect was the invention of the steel frame, allowing an internal skeleton to support a much greater weight than was previously possible by just thickening the outer walls. This was largely the invention of architect Louis Sullivan and a group of contemporaries who became known as the Chicago School in the late 1800s. The first official skyscraper to use a steel frame was therefore not in New York, but in Chicago. Most experts agree that the original model was the Home Insurance Building, constructed in downtown Chicago in 1885. Unfortunately, you won't be able to see it, as it was demolished in 1931. Other pre-steel skyscrapers built of stone, and also going back to the 1880s, do still exist, however. One example still standing is the Fine Arts Building, also from 1885, and also designed by Louis Sullivan. However, more than architecture, decadence and crime, one event put Chicago firmly back on the world map, and that was the election of Barack Obama as president. Obama, a native of Chicago, called his city that most American of American cities, a city where the world's races and religions and nationalities all live and work and play and reach for the American dream that brought them here. Where our civic parades wave the colours of every culture, where the classrooms are filled with the sounds of the world's languages. And of course, most of that quote could also apply to New York. But it's true that something about Chicago is even more American than its big sister, the Big Apple. What that something is, we'll try and explore. Besides, it's in Chicago that you can walk down South Greenwood Avenue, pause and snap a picture of the Obamas' home, if that's your cup of tea, not in New York. It seems appropriate that America's first black president was from Chicago, as this city has a long relationship with both race relations and with politics. It goes without saying that it's a Democratic Party stronghold, seeing itself very sharply in opposition to more Republican and conservative parts of the country, especially the South. Most Chicagoans don't tend to fantasize about spending their next vacation in Texas. Come on, babe, why don't we paint the town? And all that jazz, I'm gonna rouge my knees and roll my stockings down. And all that jazz, start the car, I know what would be spot. So much for myth, but what about reality? One aspect of this city that is all too real is crime. Gun crime. Gang violence, especially, remains a plague, particularly on the city's southern and western sides, and in this respect, Chicago is not as far from Texas as its inhabitants would like to think. It's still a very typical American city. In fact, as Obama said, the most typical American city. And a typical American city also means suburbs. Suburbs and sprawl. The city itself covers an area of around 600 square kilometers. That's half of Los Angeles' 1,200 square kilometers. But the urban sprawl continues all the way around the southern end of Lake Michigan and into the neighboring state of Indiana, with a metropolitan population of around 9.9 million. So, just like those Texan giants Houston and Dallas, it's a city where most of the inhabitants live in the suburbs and whose lives depend on the automobile. At the same time, in spite of being proud of its ethnic mix and of being the home of Barack Obama, it's still the most racially segregated of American cities. It's not really in a good position to preach about race relations to its traditionally more racist southern counterparts like Houston or Atlanta. Race has been a recurring theme during the 200 or so years of its existence, and racial tension has erupted into rioting on several occasions. However, Chicago has two major trump cards when it comes to other American megacities, and they are that it has both a reasonably efficient public transport system and a vibrant spatially connected network of central downtown neighborhoods. It's not quite Manhattan, but it's certainly a lot closer to the European urban model than Los Angeles. It's a city where it's actually possible to walk, cycle, or use the subway system, affectionately known as the L, short for Elevated Railway. In fact, the subway system defines the downtown. Five of the seven main lines converge in the city center to form a circular overhead railway. The Loop is the name both of this part of the system and of the area that it encloses. It's in and around the brutalist steel pillars holding up the creaky but characterful elevated tracks that you'll find the greatest concentration of skyscrapers. Also downtown are a range of world-class museums, such as the Chicago Art Institute and the Field Museum. The latter is located in one of the two beautifully laid out parks which border the waterfront of the lake for several kilometers. The elevated railway itself is like the rigid backbone of the city. Described by filmmaker Danny Boyle as the sexiest railway in the world. That seems a little strong to me, but it's certainly an iconic structure. Although its charm lies in the fact that it is old, acting as a contrast to the skyscrapers that soar above it, it's still in urgent need of renovation. Progress on that front is slow, and budgetary cuts continue to delay the work, leading to unending maintenance and dissatisfied passengers. Flying to flash, we're playing fast and loose. So, myth and reality. We'll be hearing more about how Chicago got to this point and the uneasy relationship between its inhabitants and their elected politicians, as well as what it's like to actually live there and to visit. Tune in. All that.